Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I've got awesome news for people living here in New Hampshire, for liberty-loving people here in New Hampshire, that is. The bill hearing for the constitutional amendment that would cause New Hampshire to peaceably declare independence from the United States government officially has a hearing date. In just over 2 weeks, it's January the 20th at 3:30 p.m. For anyone out there in New Hampshire, because we are on some stations here in New Hampshire, I think there's three of them total, including one that stretches out over Concord, I will be there on January the 20th at 3:30 p.m. It's kind of late in the day, and I'm expecting a lot of libertarians to turn out for this and to want to say something about this, a lot of free staters, rather. I don't see it getting wrapped up with all of these people speaking by 5 p.m., and I would expect it to have to be continued into the next day. But it's starting at 3:30 p.m., so even for people like me who like sleeping late, we just don't have an excuse on this one not to be there, because 3:30 in the afternoon, it's only like an hour-long drive. Even if you wake up at 2, you can get there on time. So that's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. You can find out more information about New Hampshire Exit at nhexit.us. I don't know who all will be there. I mean, we just got the news of the hearing date today, so word is just now beginning to spread.
Yeah, this is the first I'm hearing about it.
President Biden's IRS is cracking down on payments made through third-party apps, requiring platforms like Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App to report transactions if they exceed $600 in 1 year. So it's not even a single $600 transaction.
Oh, no. That's what I thought it meant.
That's what I thought it meant as well, but that in 1 year thing throws that out the window. If a single Cash App account or PayPal account or Venmo account receives more than $600 in a single year, they have to report that to the IRS.
And it's ridiculous because there's even talk about getting rid of cash, like, yes, having us only be like electronic,
well, that's
cash
what they want,
society.
Right.
So there'll be absolutely no way to get around them stealing from you.
Other than using cryptocurrency, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what they want. That's why they want their central bank digital currencies that we talked about last night, so that they know exactly how much money you have, where it is, how you're spending it, where it came from, and what you want to do with it, so that they can cut you off at a moment's notice if that's what they choose to do.
Sounds creepy.
It's all about control. I'm not a Christian or anything like that, but if you, Mark of the Beast type stuff, that's at least a Mark of the Beast, right?
Yeah.
Historians will look back and say that one of the key issues leading to the downfall of the Republic was the ratification of the 17th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Now, I asked you this during the break, but I realized that was kind of silly, so I have to ask you this again. Now, refresh my memory. What is the 17th Amendment? Because I don't remember.
The listeners aren't keeping track of that, and you pretty much have to look it up when you have to see which one is which. But that was when the U.S. senators would no longer be elected by the state legislatures, but by the voters. And before that, pretty much they were on the side of the state legislature, and their mission was to do their duty to the best of their ability, but they would bind the federal government down with the chains of the Constitution, say, because they would keep the federal government from overstepping its boundaries that were the proper role of the state governments. And so now you have the federal government with all kinds of absurd misinterpretations of three key clauses in the Constitution: the General Welfare Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, and the Commerce Clause.
The way they did prohibition before, all that did was teach them, okay, well, just ignore the Constitution, ignore the enumerated powers, and just make it illegal anyway. Create a new government organization that declares it to be thus, and it will be thus.
I mean, I don't worship the Constitution like some people do, but I can, you know, appreciate parts of it. But
it's not the worst thing ever written.
That's a good point. That's a good way to put it. It's not the worst thing ever written. You know, I support the First Amendment, I support the Second Amendment, and I will adamantly say that. But the thing about the Supreme Court is, they don't uphold the Constitution.
No, I think Murray Rothbard said it best. You know, when we created the Supreme Court, it seems like a good idea until you really stop to think about how they're part of the state. And what we ultimately did was give the state the power to determine what the state was and wasn't allowed to do.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, they're just people with titles. They're yes. no more holy than you or I or anybody else out there in listener land. So who gives them the right to say what's constitutional, like what's right and what's wrong?
Well, that's part of the whole mythology, the whole religious aspect of the state, especially here in the United States. There is this mentality that these nine Supreme Court justices, they are somehow holier or wiser or cut from a different cloth than the average person. They're greater. The Constitution means more to them, and they're going to consider it more meaningfully. Social media interactions with news articles. This is a percentage change from 2020 to 2021. Social media interactions with news articles are down 65%. That's more than half of people.
Wow.
Cut it more in half. I don't know how to phrase that exactly, but I've seen this myself. Like previously in 2020, 2019, I would see an article that I was going to talk about in the show, and I would give a quick little blurb about it and click the share icon and, you know, get some minor attention. Now it gets zero. No likes, no comments, no views, no anything. And it's because people are just burned out on this crap. They stopped interacting with it. Facebook and Twitter figured that out, and so they stopped showing it to people. Cable news, primetime viewers down 36%, and we knew that already because we talked about that before. News media app downloads down 33%. So engagement with news content plummeted last year compared to 2020, and given the ongoing decline in interest in news about COVID-19 and politics, I didn't even see that link before, so I'm going to go ahead and click that. Evidently, they have information. Yeah. Okay, so let's go directly into that because that's what I figured the actual source of the problem is, and that's people are just sick of hearing about COVID-19.
I know a lot of healthcare workers who are very upset right now because if you get COVID, you still have to go to work. The CDC changed the guidelines that was like, if you're asymptomatic, still come to work or quarantine for five. Like they cut it down from 14 days to 5 days. And it's like, okay, well, if this is more deadly and it's more contagious, then why are we reversing things? So they're saying it's scary, more contagious, more deadly, you know, be afraid. But then they're cutting back all of their guidelines. So it's like they're saying one thing, but telling people to do the opposite of what would make sense. And I think people are starting to wake up to that and be like, wait, what is the, like, now it seems like everybody's upset with the CDC. Like, we were kind of upset.
I've never been happy with them.
No, exactly. Like, we were kind of like, what the heck are you doing the whole time? And now it seems like the hardcore believers, they're losing faith in the CDC too. So, not going to be good for them.
It's not surprising. I mean, didn't they come out and outright say that the reason they're reducing the number of quarantine days and the testing requirement, it's not because of the science or anything like that. It's just because airlines are having to cancel too many flights and people need to be able to get back to work and stuff yeah. like that. I'm pretty sure, and it's probably disappeared down the memory hole right now, but when they first started floating out these new guidelines, I'm pretty sure they were like, look, we've got to get people back to work faster. That's what yeah. this is about. We're one day away from celebrating the January 6th, quote, insurrection. I'm told there's going to be a protest in Concord tomorrow. I'm currently awaiting more details about it because it sounds like it would be really fun, where they're going to build an igloo, I believe, at the State House.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
It does, right? But it's going to be tricky. I'm waiting to find out whether or not, you know, the people involved are actually serious because, unusually, there's no ice or snow on the ground right now.
I know. I love the snow, so I'm really bummed about that. But we'll need some snow so we can build an igloo. I'm also very good at building igloos, so I would like to be part of this.
See, I don't like the snow, but I have a golden retriever who loves it.
Oh, yeah.
And there should be giant 20-foot tall mounds of snow piled up in parking lots right now. Instead, there's none anywhere.
But I've noticed that the winter has kind of been like postponed the past 5 years. Like we used to start getting snow obviously before Christmas, and now it seems like we don't get those crazy blizzards until February and March. So I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I'm hoping we see some of those just so that my dog can run out there into it and like just be buried up to her head. And
she can whip snowballs into her mouth.
Yeah, I already do that. I discovered the other day because I ordered breakfast from somewhere and I don't eat bacon and they accidentally put bacon on it. So I just sat there throwing bacon at her, like just trying to hit her in the face with it. And she got really, really good really quickly at catching it. Primetime news viewership was down 36% across the three major cable news networks. That's Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC. With the steepest decline during that time frame happening at CNN, interestingly enough. App downloads for the top mainstream publishers dropped 33%. And of course, website visits for the top performing news websites in the U.S. tracked by some company dropped 8%. So people are still turning to the internet, but even that's decreased as well. They'd rather read an article than watch the news, apparently, because that would allow them to actually choose what they're interested in.
Yeah.
Rather than just hearing about COVID or whatever.
The news sucks.
It does.
And not in a good way. Like, not like Primus sucks. Like, no, it actually is terrible.
A few landmark events like the Beijing Winter Olympics and the 2022 midterm elections could provide some much-needed traffic boosts for publishers looking to hold on to fleeting numbers. The Capitol riots also drove... The riots now. There were more than one. And there wasn't even one. But the Capitol riots... Good Lord, I just want to back up for a moment to read this nonsense in its glory. The full-year drop in news engagement would have been even more dramatic were it not for the enormous amount of news traffic driven by the Capitol siege in January.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I was surprised. I saw a lot of New Hampshire sources talking about River Dave, and I know we covered River Dave on Free Talk Live at some point, but Yahoo News, I found this article, and then there was one on The Guardian and maybe like a couple other mainstream news sources, so River Dave is famous.
Good for him.
But unfortunately, River Dave has been arrested yet again after returning to live at his cabin site that was mysteriously burnt down. So, a former hermit in New Hampshire whose cabin in the woods burned down.
He's a former hermit because they took away his home and kicked him out.
No, they were saying that he's a hermit because he's not like living on the grid.
But they described him as a former hermit, right?
Yeah, former because.
Because they kicked him out and took his home. So he can't be a hermit anymore. He has to interact with people.
Oh, now I get what you're saying.
It's unfortunate.
Poor River Dave.
Dude just minding his own business.
Literally. So his cabin in the woods burned down after nearly three decades on the property that he was ordered to leave, has been charged with trespassing there once again, turning a shed that survived the fire into a makeshift home outfitted with a wood stove. So there has been an outpouring of support for River Dave since he was arrested in July and accused of squatting on property owned by a Vermont man. His cabin burnt down in August while he was jailed. River Dave was a local celebrity to boaters and kayakers on the Merrimack River before his property dispute caught the attention of the masses, bringing in over $200,000 in donations to help him start a new, law-abiding life.
Okay, well, that kind of changes things. I mean... With $200,000.
$200,000, he should rebuild his cabin where he wants to live, which clearly he loves this land. It's right by the river.
It does seem like the people from Vermont would be willing to work with him at this point. Like, hey, look.
It's like 50 acres of land.
But he doesn't need that much. Right?
Yeah, no, exactly. No, the whole entire plot of land is 49 acres. So, like, just give River Dave his little section. I mean,
they don't even have to give it to him, right? They're just like, hey, look, okay. You raised a pretty good amount of money. That's pretty impressive. Give us $100,000. Use the other $100,000 to rebuild your cabin, and we'll let you live here. We'll give you a 99-year lease on this little bit of property.
Yeah.
They could work with him on this, and I would argue the ethical thing for them to do in this circumstance would be to work with him on this. Did they not know he was there before they bought the land?
They had no clue he was there.
Our state is going to increase cigarette taxes some more beginning of this year, and I'm so happy about it.
Why?
You know, including why? Oh, because it's going to be less teenagers and homeless people buying cigarettes to bother me with secondhand smoke.
I don't know if that's how it works, though. Because, yeah. So at one point, and I even watched this, you know, where I'm from, the first memory I have of cigarettes, they were like $6. And then by the time, I mean, now, like around here in like New Hampshire, and well, maybe not New Hampshire, it's less, but in Massachusetts at least.
It's still pricey here in New Hampshire. It's still about $8 a pack for the premium brands.
In Mass, it's like $12 to $13 for a pack of like Marlboro Reds.
See, and no
people
one
are still smoking cigarettes, and I don't think the amount of people that smoke has decreased. I still think there's a lot of kids smoking cigarettes, so I'm not sure if increasing the sin tax on cigarettes or whatever it's called is going to really fix that problem.
It doesn't seem to. The increase, because when I lived in Mississippi, your average premium pack of cigarettes was like $5 a pack. And you could get like brands of Marlboro or the cheaper brands of Marlboro that were like $4 a pack. So even coming here to New Hampshire, where the price was almost double that, it didn't really faze me that much.
So you're saying that, or you were implying at least, that people that smoke cigarettes are more likely to get lung cancer and COPD and need more medical care, correct?
Right, right. And then obviously they're going to be broke because they threw all their money on cigarettes, and we're going to have to pay for it with Medicaid.
So what do you think about fat people? Like, what do you think about people that eat McDonald's? Should there be a McDonald's tax because they're consuming food that is going to give them cancer?
Well, I don't know about the McDonald's, but I do support the soda pop tax. I called into the show.
Hold on, Sarah. Your average cigarette smoker, I don't have any data to back this up, to be fair, but I'm willing to bet your average cigarette smoker who doesn't eat McDonald's is healthier than your average non-smoker who does eat McDonald's.
Well, it's just food. I don't know about the McDonald's tax, but I mean, I don't know how really bad their food is, but I did say I support the sugar tax, the soda pop, the sugar tax. I've always been, if they could put taxes on Twinkies and Ding Dongs and donuts, I would be all for it.
That one communist lady, I don't think she's communist. I actually think I don't know if I'm going to convey it right, but she's somebody that's trying to prove how dumb these ideas are.
You're referring to Sarah from New Mexico, the previous caller, and honestly, the nightly caller, who is a self-described communist who claims to have actually attended communist meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'm not sure if she's like joking or if she's serious with her calls.
No, I think there's another party that's involved that makes her call you, because you probably have tens of millions of listeners, right?
It's hard to say, given that most of it's radio. Okay. We have no idea who's tuning into which radio station.
Well, I didn't want to say dozens. I wanted to say more than that. So
definitely more than dozens.
but no, she was talking. The one thing that really hit me is, you know, they say they're trying to dumb down America. Well, yeah, if you got ideas like her, they want the dumb people that think like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they certainly do, and I think we called her to task on that last night, because that was all she wanted to talk about last night, was how, you know, governments, they want people to be dumber, and when we pointed out to her, okay, well, communist governments also want you to be dumber.
I smoked for 30 years, pretty much. I smoke 100 cigarettes a day, but you know what? And that leads into my other point. I don't eat McDonald's, but I sure damn feel a lot healthier than any fat person that eats McDonald's on a daily basis.
Yeah, Nikki and I both looked into that. The numbers were pretty clear that eating fast food is going to shorten your lifespan more than smoking. So you're absolutely right. And I'm glad that data did actually hold up, because it feels right as someone who's relatively, other than the fact that my lungs suck because I've been smoking for the last 20 years, I'm in really good physical health. Versus a lot of people I can think of especially in the South where I was recently, who eat fast food every meal of every day and who are significantly unhealthy.
And let me tell you, we want to talk about lungs. I bet you, you can breathe a lot better than they can. Just the weight
That's
of having
scary.
That much fat. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen how fatigued a very obese person gets just like walking. I watch a lot of My 600 Pound Life, so I'm very well versed on the topic of fat people.
Raya is one of these weirder characters. She's part of the Cleaner, Healthier, Happier campaign, which is supported by World Vision and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Raya is incredibly passionate about water, hygiene, sanitation, and teaching kids about staying healthy. There's also Zari, who is part of the Afghanistan Sesame Street crew. Oh, I bet she's been discontinued. Zari is an Afghani girl who wears a hijab and teaches her audience about breaking gender stereotypes. She was introduced to the series to show the world that girls can do anything, or to show Afghani children that girls can do anything. And I suspect, given certain events that happened within the last 12 months, she's probably no longer welcome on the Sesame Street crew there in Afghanistan.
She got cancel cultured.
I mean, well, the Taliban doesn't, it doesn't sound like the sort of thing the Taliban would approve of.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Kami or Kami or Kami, however, she's in South African Sesame Street. So not all of these are in the United States, apparently.
I didn't know that there were like different Sesame Streets.
I didn't either. This is news to me. Kami was introduced to the world as the world's first HIV positive Muppet as a means to help mitigate much of the HIV AIDS stigma that still exists. She knows a lot about HIV and AIDS and helps educate her young audience on it, because who doesn't want their 3 and 4 year old children watching Sesame Street to learn all about HIV and AIDS?
I heard you guys talking about taxes and smoking and these sorts of things. And I wanted to give my experience because, you know, for one, I had never considered the idea, which is worse for me, a Happy Meal or a pack of Marlboros. So this is a new conversation for me, and I like that. But
well, from what I can tell, all of the data seems to suggest that fast food is worse for, or junk food / processed food / fast food, however you wish to characterize it, is worse for you than smoking. Now, it depends. If you're smoking 4 packs a day versus 1 Big Mac a week, it's going to depend on how often you're eating junk food and how often you're smoking, obviously, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that your body can handle perhaps 5 cigarettes a week or, a Big Mac a week or something like that without too much trouble.
I'm not entirely sure how true that is, though.
Okay.
Now, I got to find the numbers here. They were just right in front of me. And of course, now that I want them, they're not. However,
I kind of don't trust these numbers, because the people who hate smoking really hate smoking. And the people who hate fast food really hate fast food. With the government, money's fungible. So when they're not sending money to, when they don't have to send as much money to kids in the hospital, they just send more money to drop bombs on other people's children around the world. And I just couldn't live with that. So I gave up smoking. And in fact, the tax worked for me. Barack Obama put a tax on cigars, and I quit smoking them as a result. So kind of, to some extent, these people can claim that what they do is true. They're disincentivizing the behavior, and
well, I suspect most people aren't going to be particularly bothered by the increase in tax. You know, they're not going to be motivated by the realization that this is causing bombs to be dropped on kids in the Middle East.
Well, and Mark, for you, it sounds like it was more of like an ethical and a principle standpoint, and like less about the money, which I think most people, taxes, it's about the money. It's not about the ethics of taxation.
Right. And I absolutely 100%. But at any point, at some point, if you raise the taxes high enough, then people will, some people will skirt around it, but others will just simply stop smoking. And that's what we've seen in like New York City, where the taxes on cigarettes are so high that they sell Lucy's and that sort of thing.
We've been talking about the New Hampshire Independence Bill. It's come up a number of times tonight, which is always great for me because I love talking about it. There were some clarifications. The Texas bill did get put forward by a state representative, but it never even reached committee, and it was really passive, weak language. I don't remember exactly. Mark, there was some weird, I don't know what you were doing there, but there was some weird noise. It was very passive. Well, if this resolution passes, we will begin to consider the possibility of perhaps maybe at some point within the next 500 years having a committee explore the possibility of seceding from the United States. It probably wasn't really that watered down, but the New Hampshire Independence Bill, it's blunt, it's in your face, it's short. There was a lot of work done to narrow this down to as short a language as possible, so there was no room for misinterpretation. We're not looking at a possible Brexit here. If this thing passes, it's immediate independence for the state of New Hampshire. Mark, are you still with us?
Yeah, I think that it's worth mentioning that Texas is the only state in the union that has secession written into its constitution. I'm not saying that Texas is going to secede or that Texas is better than New Hampshire, because I think those are dumb conversations. But I think it's worth mentioning the Texans love that that's in their constitution. You know, the path of legalization of marijuana through over the course of the last decade really does show that people have been able to use the government apparatus in certain states in order to achieve more liberty. And it also goes to show that New Hampshire isn't about freedom, which is what's been said on Free Talk Live a great deal. New Hampshire's about a broken system that it makes it very difficult to pass legislation.
All right, Mark, I'm confused by your position then, because at one point you're accusing me of saying that, oh, well, if we just have a Democratic governor, we'll suddenly be free, when we're literally talking about pot legalization here. I didn't say that having a Democratic governor would make us free. I said that Governor Sununu is the one standing in the way of pot legalization, and now you're making the exact
point. But before him, it was the Democrat.
We didn't have it then. That was what, eight years ago?
We're on national radio with 500,000 people listening to you right now. You've got to be clear when you say it's the Republican governor that you don't mean that a Democratic governor would have solved the problem.
I never said that Governor Sununu was the one keeping us from being free. I said he was the one keeping pot legalization from happening. And then you took that and you said, oh, so if we just have a Democratic governor, we'll be free. And then you turn around and make the exact opposite point, which is that marijuana legalization is a fine step for freedom. So which one is it? Do we have to be completely free, or is it okay for New Hampshire to be here taking little steps toward freedom? Which is it?
I love little steps towards freedom.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.